Father, we give you praise and honor this morning. We come before your word with expectant hearts. Thank you. Yes, yes, the healer is in the house, and his name is Jesus, and he's never changed and never will. He's never refused healing to anyone, ever, anytime, any place. If there's a problem, it's not with Jesus. If there's a problem, it's with us. And we just dump all of our problems over on you this morning. Oh, glory be to God. And we worship you today in Jesus' holy name. Receiving from Jesus is not difficult. Just look at, particularly in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because he carries on through the book of Acts. Think about the leper. I know you can if you will. He said, of course I will. That's what one translation said. Of course I will. And I hear him saying, that's why I came. Why wouldn't I? Amen. It is so simple, you have to have help to misunderstand it. And over the years, we've had some high-priced religious help. Amen. But hey, the Father. Did he heal you because you have faith? Well, you have to have faith, but he healed you because he loves you. Amen. When did he heal you? 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Jesus. Now then, I want to begin this morning with examples of the different methods of receiving healing. I'm talking about physical healing, both in using your own faith and the Word of God only. Now, there are 19 different healings in the Gospels. Now, it looks like there's a whole lot more, and of course, there were just multitudes of people that were healed. But there are 19 that the Holy Spirit has chosen to give us as examples. And out of that 19, if you'll take the time to just check it, because see, there's some of them that are the same example that are three times, some of them two times, some of them only once. But the most of them were healed on their own faith, like the woman with the issue of blood. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go and be whole of that plague. Be it done unto you as you have believed. Then the centurion, and I just put this in Texas talk. Sir, there ain't no reason for you to come to my house. Speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Jesus said, okay. Amen. He didn't say, no, we need to do it. I need to come lay hands on him. No, he just moved on that man's faith. And he said, I'm a man under authority. I tell somebody to go, they go. I tell them to come here, they come here. He said, I'm the boss. They do what I say. What is he saying? He said, I realize that you're the boss over sickness and disease, and all you have to do is tell it to get out and it'll leave. And there's another thing I want to tell you right now. If you want to keep that pain in your body, you better get out of here because it's in grave danger. Pain is over for you today. Oh, bad times are over for you today. Glory to God. If you'll measure it and take it that way and just like Jerry said, bulldog faith. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. So I want you to pay attention to these videos and watch how people receive. So watch this, please.
So when I was about 5 years old, kind of starting to enter that stage where reading and learning how to read, we found out, one, I was loving learning how to read, but I couldn't make it very far, and I actually get these splitting headaches. And so my parents wound up taking me to see the eye doctor, and they wound up finding out that basically I had a weakness in one of my eyes. One of the muscles wasn't fully strengthened. So we wound up going and getting some glasses. Wore them for, I guess, till I was about 10. And, you know, for the longest time, it was just something I had. But something that last year, I remember Commander Dane and Linda started talking about healing, and it just started to register with me a little bit. And we were at Super Kid Camp of 2001. Went up for an altar call, and then there was this 8-year-old kid at the time. I was 10, and I remember his name was Matthew. And Commander Linda had been talking about the story of Jesus healing the blind man. So Matthew comes over and sticks his thumbs in my eye like an eight-year-old does. You know, it wasn't perfect, wasn't the most clean thing in the world, but I just remember being 10, and I was in agreement with it, and I was not wearing my glasses again after that, and it was an amazing service. What was most impactful, though, was it was probably my first moment to identify my relationship with my Savior and Him being my healer in that moment. And we got back from camp that year, and I remember looking at my mom and dad and saying, I'm not wearing these, I'm not wearing them anymore, and mom and dad said, okay. We went back to the eye doctor, I think a few weeks later, and tested it. And sure enough, I went from, I think it was like 20/80 vision to about 20/20. And so from that moment on, and no more glasses. And it's just, the biggest thing has been, it's been almost a mile marker in my life to be able to look back on and say, man, look at what Jesus did. And going through the teenage years and even the young adult years, that was that signifying moment where suddenly He wasn't just Christ the healer, He was Christ my healer.
Well, praise God. Well, Blake, how did you get healed? Well, there was an 8-year-old minister put his thumbs in my eyes. And I was 10. Can you see it? Amen. You don't have to be in the ministry 25 years to lay hands on the people that need healing. Amen. And it matters where you go to church and how your children are taught. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you what. I knew you'd enjoy that this morning. Great. Blake is a great guy. Now, this young woman, most everyone in here knows that Gloria and I have a place in Southwest Arkansas that was, when we got married, her grandfather and grandmother gave us 4 acres there out of their farm. And so we moved a raggedy old house from I want to tell you about that house. It belonged to Pop. It was over across the highway on some property he had over there. And so we wanted to move it over and overhaul it and remodel it. No, rebuild it. And the first mover came out and he said, Copeland, my advice is let her sit. I said, you don't want to move? I don't want to move that thing. But Mr. Wooten came and I said, Mr. Wooten, I mean, would you move? He said, Copeland, I'll move anything. So he moved it over across the place. Well, then you've seen it on television, and it's just Gloria and her mother did so marvelous working on that place, and then the little log cabins and all. Well, Susan Hamilton has been the young woman that's taken care of that place now for a lot of years, and we come up there to do television and so forth. And she just, I tell you, that has been her ministry for a long time, among other things that she does there in Nashville, Arkansas. But I want you to watch what happened with her daughter, Shay. Now watch this and listen very carefully to it.
I'm Susan and this is Shay, and we work for Kenneth and Glory Copeland in Arkansas at their prayer cabins.
In 2012, I had my first daughter. You know, you expect, as soon as you have your baby, you expect to hear them crying, and that's when you know they're okay. And I just remember silence in the room. The nurses took her off and they said, your daughter has a very, very bad lung infection. And we're doing everything we can do right now. And we're going to have to airlift your baby to a different hospital. So about 6 hours after having her, I was driving to another hospital. When I got there, she was in the NICU, and for 2 days, we couldn't touch her. I still didn't get to hold her. The phone rang, and then I answered it, and it was a nurse. She said, yes, your baby has a bad infection, but we found something else. Your baby has a hole in her heart. It may require surgery, but there's always a chance that it could close on its own. So after the infection was taken care of, we left the hospital, brought her home, and they said, we want you to come back in X amount of time, and we're going to check again.
I called my church family, and of course my family, our family, and I said, I have to call Brother Copeland and Miss Gloria and Terry and George Pearson, because I know they're going to pray for our baby.
When we came back, the Copelands were still here. Instantly, prayers. They just started praying, and they put their hands on her and prayed for healing. A year later, we go back to Children's Hospital, and they say, we have no sign of anything wrong with your baby's heart. From this point forward, when you fill out any papers, she has no heart condition. Never treat her like she does ever again, because it's like it never happened. In 2016, I had another baby girl. Her name is Breeland. The pregnancy was smooth as could be. Anything after birth was great, no problems. And then we got surprised in 2018 with a little boy. And because Paisley had the heart condition, both of my children after were tested. The cardiologist was doing the test, and I could just see something come over his face, and he just quit moving. He just sat there for a minute, and I looked at Carter. I said, he's fixing to say something that I don't want to hear. And he heard me, and he said, yes, ma'am, I am. He said, do you see this on the screen? You could see the two holes in his heart and the blood going back and forth, and the holes looked so big. And he said, I want you to come back in 3 months. So he said, before you leave, I want to have an anatomy scan done on him also. So we go to a different doctor down the hall, and she's doing the anatomy scan, and even she looks at the heart and says, I can see the two holes in your baby's heart. And I said, yes, the cardiologist has told us. And she said, okay, well, I'm going to keep on with my scan. And she said, there's a cyst on your baby's brain. And she said, with the holes in the heart and the cyst on the brain, those are major markers for a certain type of autism. And she said, I too need you to come back in 3 months. So it just so happened that the Copelands were here again, filming in Arkansas. And Mr. Copeland said, well, how's the pregnancy? How's your baby? And I just started crying, and he knew. And I said, there's a lot wrong this time. And he started praying. Him and Gloria laid hands on my stomach. And when they started praying, I got chill bumps everywhere. I was cold all of a sudden. And the nights before that, between the appointment and meeting and praying with Gloria and Kenneth, I couldn't sleep at night. I was anxious. And after that day, God gave me a calm, just a peace. And I said my prayers at night, and I went to sleep. And that was it until I went back 3 months later. And the cardiologist says, I don't see any holes in your baby's heart. Both of them are closed. And I told Carter, I said, now we just have to check on the brain now. So we go down the hall to the doctor, and he says, everything looks great. And I said, well, we were here because there was a cyst on my baby's brain. And he said, it's not there. He said, I wasn't even going to mention it because there's nothing there. And it just showed that to me, the God you read about, the miracles he did thousands of years ago, is still the same God that can still do the same miracles now and today.
Now, what you need to see out of that is agreement. The prayer of agreement. All of us in agreement. No, nobody was going in a different direction. And Shay just absolutely refused to receive anything else. Just stand on the word. And Susan, now her mother, I'm telling you, that's Susan Hamilton. I mean, you couldn't squeeze unbelief out of her. There's just no way. Just don't change. Just stay in agreement with the word. Stay in agreement with God and stay in agreement with one another, particularly in times when that the devil's putting pressure on you and you want to just get mad and throw something. Don't be doing that. No, those are the pressures. Those are the lust or the pressures of other things entering in, choke the word. Amen. Now, this one was by manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. So watch this.
I'm Jenny Cooney, and I'm from Living Word Christian Center is our home church, and we're from Elk River, Minnesota. And I was painting with some friends, and I had just come down off the ladder and looked up and saw that I had missed a spot. And so I'm like, I had to go up and get that. And so I climbed up to the top, and I had to stand on the very top, which you're not supposed to do, and reach for the spot. And when I reached for the spot, the ladder started to tip. And my only thought in my mind at that time was that I don't want to fall on this ladder. And so I used my legs and pushed it away. And so when I did that, it pushed my feet up. And so when I landed on the ground, I landed on PVC piping straight across my shoulders. And so I laid there for a few minutes and went, oh, that hurt. And so called the paramedics, and they came and took me to the hospital. They shot some x-rays, and when they came in and realized the damage that was done, they immediately took me into MRIs and CAT scans. And when they came in and said, you're not getting off that backboard, you broke your back in two places and you broke your neck. The one in my neck was C7, and they called it a burst with a retropulsion, which means the inside of my vertebrae exploded. And there was fractures all the way around the outside of my vertebrae, and it also pushed back towards my spinal column. And they said they didn't want to have to do surgery because of how mobile that I was, because they would have had to fuse all the vertebrae in my neck. And so put me in the brace, and they told me that, you know, rehab for something like this would take anywhere from 12 months to 18 months before that I would have full mobility in my neck. And so I'm like, no, I don't think so. And the first night in the hospital, God gave me a scripture, and it's Luke 8:48, and it says, and he said unto her, daughter, your faith, your trust, and your confidence in me has made you well. Go enter into peace, undisturbed well-being. I had total peace about the whole thing, that, you know, God, hey, I'm getting a miracle off of this. So it was a Thursday night, first night that Brother Copeland was here. And I had my full body brace on, and my husband said, do you want to go? And I said, oh, you bet I want to go. And so we came, and Brother Copeland got done preaching, and he stopped. And he was walking back and forth praying. And all of a sudden he stopped and he goes, somebody is getting healed right back here in the back of your neck. And right away I'm like, oh, that's me. And he prayed some more and he goes, as a matter of fact, you're not going to have surgery.
But I heard the Lord say this, I'm putting that vertebrae back in there right now. And you won't have any more pain. That will not be a weak vertebrae. It'll be the strongest one in your spine now.
And right away, I said, I claim this in the name of Jesus. That's mine. And so after we got done, I was just like, yes, this is me. And the next morning, I got up and God said, I want you to feel the back of your neck. And in my brace, there's this little piece that was open. And that's where my C7 was. And he said, now feel back there. Because it was, when you looked at my vertebrae, it was pushed out. And so it stuck out. And so I put my finger back there and I'm like, oh, it's in place. And so I walked into the kitchen and I looked at my husband and tears are coming down my face. I said, I got a new vertebrae. And he goes, I know you did and stuff. And I so bad wanted to go to the doctor right away. And God said, nope, I want you to wait till your next 2-week checkup. And I went, okay. And so we went in And every time I would go in, they shot x-rays. And we went in, and he had the x-rays and stuff, and I just couldn't wait to get into the room and ask him. And he put them up, and he looked at them, and I looked at him, and I said, "What do you see?" And he goes, "It's like a brand new vertebrae." He goes, "It's like a baby." He goes, "It just needs to mature." He knew what was going on. He saw all the brokenness in that vertebrae and that it should not have been a brand new vertebrae in there. So it was just like, it's one of those aha moments where it's just like, yes, yes, God.
Hallelujah. Now that little baby vertebrae took several weeks to grow up to full size. Now, what are we talking about here? There was a combination of the word of knowledge, and of course, she took it by faith. And then, as she did, then the gifts of healings were involved, which caused that little vertebrae just to go on and grow and come to full fruition. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the 91st Psalm, please. You do realize that this room today is full of angels. Full of angels. Hold your place there and turn to the book of Hebrews. I want you to put your eyes on this. I've quoted it several times during this meeting. First chapter of the book of Hebrews. 99% of born again people don't even know this is in the Bible. Verse 13, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" Now, to whom did he say that? Jesus. Well, we're seated with him at his right hand. He has made our enemies our footstool. Glory to God. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" He's not talking about the new birth. He's talking about the ministry of angels. Deliverance by angels. Having angels there all the time. Every human being, not just born again ones, every human being, the moment they're born, an angel is assigned. And they'll work on a limited way, in a limited way, when they can. Thank God for them. Because I look back, I know situations. I see situations where, man, long before I got saved. Well, of course, my mother's believing God, but she was not aware. Of course, she knew about angels, but she'd never been taught scriptures like this. They're taught that we, in the name of Jesus, we have command. Amen. We have command authority. Now, thank you, Lord Jesus. The 91st Psalm. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High," the Most High. There is no higher than the Lord our God. And we've been talking about it all this whole time ever since Thursday night. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the mighty one, the highest authority in the universe, the highest existing authority is in us right now. I tell you, glory be to God. Now, I'm going to rattle your cage here a little bit. There's another miracle that I would like. I'm going to tell you about it first, and then I'm going to show you a picture about it. Here in just a few days, we'll be going to Lagos, Nigeria once again, and we'll be ministering there with Bishop Oyedepo. And I'm telling you, it's an outstanding experience to minister to 110, 115,000 people in one church. When you pack that church out, which it will be during this meeting, you pack that building out on Sunday, you cram 54,000 in there. And when we're there, they pack it out. And they have five services on Sunday. That's a lot of folks. Not to mention the 80 to 100,000 that are outside watching on big screen television. It's amazing. Now, he called me and he said, I'm coming to Dallas and I want to fly over and to your place and visit with you for a moment. I said, sure, Bishop, come on. I'm excited to see you. So he came over. And he said, a young man, glory to God, a young man in our church said he's on staff, and he's just a young man. When Gloria and I met him then the next year, and he's about 28 years old, 25, excuse me. And he'd be 28 now. And he said, He had a gunshot wound, destroyed his elbow, just destroyed it. So he had to have, like a knee replacement, this was an elbow replacement. But he said, man, the pain, he said he just had terrible pain with that thing. Something wasn't right with it, and he just had so much pain with it. Well, from the time that we were there the year before until just right after that, I mean, we had an outpouring at that time, and 130,000 new people came into the church. So the staff, can you imagine the staff? And it's big staff, you understand? So anyway, and he was really hurting So he went to bed one night, and the Lord said to him, said, now, you've been working hard for me. Now, you go to bed and get some rest. I'm going to work for you. Well, he wasn't too, you know, he wasn't all that sure about what he's talking about. But he went on to bed. He woke up the next morning, and that elbow joint was lying there on the bed next to him. Y'all got the picture of that? That thing, that's Bishop's hand in my office there. And that thing was lying right there next to that young man. And see that steel part on the right there, the part on the left, that's artificial bone that they put in there to cause it to adhere to natural bone. On the right is the serial number on the part and everything. And all of it's, you know, documented. And there it is, right there. Glory to God. Now, who did that? The great physician. Who was the agent? An angel. Now, there was another man that testified to me. Not here, but this was another incident altogether. And he was having a lot of trouble with his heart. He's facing open heart surgery. Now, he's believing God. He's standing strong. Believe in God. Believe in God. And he went to bed one night and just woke up suddenly in the middle of the night, and there was a man standing there next to his bed. And he looked at him, and he looked, and the man had his hands in his chest. And he smiled and said, everything's okay, go on back to sleep. So he just went on back to sleep, woke up the next day, had a new heart. The ministry of angels. Now, another very close friend of mine, he's in heaven today. Gary Wood is his name, and you can look up his book about his experience in heaven. And he was killed in a car wreck when he was 18 years old. And a friend of his high school buddy that had gotten that had gone to heaven a short time before, met him there and took him through heaven, escorted him through heaven. A great experience. I don't have time to go into all of it. It's marvelous, the miracles that happened to him. In his going through and seeing things, they went into this huge place, and there was arms and legs and hearts and brains and eyes and shoulders and all kinds, every human organ in this place displayed in there. You can see, he said, "What on earth is this?" He said, "I want to show you this place." He said, "This is the parts room." And he said, "The Father has these available for his people, for his family." And he said, all people have to do is call for them. But he said, most of them don't. But he said, the angels, they install them. The great surgeon, the great physician, has never lost a case. Now, Kelly came up with something that just thrilled me. And I'll give you a bit of my testimony. I was in my working out and so forth. I've been healthy in my body except for that thing that happened in my back several years ago. Never had any trouble with my heart, never had any trouble with anything. And I started getting short of breath. Well, let me back up a little bit. I went to see to get my flight physical. And my medical examiner heard something she didn't like in my neck called a bruit. It just simply means a loud slushing sound. And normally, she wouldn't have passed my medical, but we had David Weeder, who is also my primary caregiver, and the young man you see with me all the time. And he's a chiropractor. His mother worked for our ministry when he was 5 years old. And later he went to chiropractic school and said, he and his wife both, Lynn. And he said, "We went to chiropractic school for one reason, that's to take care of you and your family." And so anyway, and he happened to have records that I had just had the most extensive kind of a physical possible just a few days before. And she said, my AME said, "Oh, well, okay." So she just passed the thing. But that noise was there. And so you know what I did? I just stood on the Word of God. And I had already started getting a little short of breath. And went over to just the other side of Dallas to preach in a prison, October the 12th of last year. And I got through preaching in that prison that night and went out to get in the airplane and, well, did get in the airplane. And Dwayne had already started the engines and I was just sitting there in the back seat. And I'm telling you, the presence of God just filled up that citation, that airplane. I just, whoa. And it just rose up in me. Oh, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. October the 12th, 8:42 in the evening, I take my new heart. I take it right now. I have it, and I'm so grateful to you for it. And I forgive if I have aught against any, in the name of Jesus. Well, and then I began to work out more and so forth. And then took every January, I take that granddaddy of all physicals. I mean, it's not your Aunt Minnie's physical. No. I wish I had time to go into it, but it's a physical. Physical. I mean, they even measure the thickness of my arteries. It's a whopper, I'll just put it like that. I love it, man. And particularly, you know what a plank is where you get down on the floor and I'm over 80 years old. And I did a 3-minute plank, and those guys don't know what, you know, they don't know what to do with that. So anyway, hey, and I ain't bragging on me, brother. You understand? His name is Jesus, and he's right in there. Anyway, so, and when they put me on the stationary bicycle, and they put the oxygen receptors on your face and all of that. And sure enough, man, I wasn't making enough oxygen. And anyway, so the man that runs that clinic, owns that clinic, he is a cardiologist and one of the top cardiologists in the state of New York. But his main ministry and practice now is in Synergenics. And so that's the name of the company. Anyway, so he said, "We're going to do an angiogram. We're going to look at this thing. We're going to see what's wrong with your heart." So we went up there, and this is on the 4th of March. We went up on the 3rd, and then checked into the hospital there on the morning of the 4th. Now remember the Brewery? Shoo, shoo, shoo. Come to find out later, one of the valves in my heart wasn't closing quite right. Well, no, thank you. I can't hardly tell this man without getting so excited. I can hardly stand before. We checked in. Now, David had just listened to that the day before. So we checked in the next morning. They're gonna do this angiogram and do some all this testing and stuff. And of course that's the first place that nurse went with that stethoscope. And she said, "Huh. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That brew is not very loud." Okay. And just a few minutes later, the doctor came in, the specialist that's going to start these tests, and he said, "I don't hear any brewery." They ain't even done the test yet. And he don't hear it. So they did the angiogram, you know, and they're going to see if they need to put in stents and all of that. And they got through. And The doctor told me, he said, well, he said, there's one artery that's completely blocked, but it's already bypassed itself. Wow. Angels, I had a heart bypass and didn't know it. So my blood flow was now, particularly since that valve goes back up, it's running 100%. I got a new heart. I have a new heart. Sometime during the night, that night, between the third and the fourth, I believe with all my heart that ministering angel operated on me. Amen. And the procedure started. The healing of my heart just completely started right there then. Let's get to the 91st song. He that dwelleth in that secret place of, I like to put it like this, he that dwelleth in the secret place with the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There are three different speakers in this psalm, starting with you and me. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Now that's the last thing I said. Somebody else begins to speak right here. It's the Lord Jesus Christ through His Spirit who dwells within you. And so let me make this clear now. Kenneth, I just said, now the way you get into the secret place is by saying it with your mouth. You believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Amen. Let's look at it again. In fact, let me read that in the 90th or Psalm from the Amplified. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust, for then He will deliver. When? When you say it. When you believe it and say it. Okay, back to the King James. Kenneth, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Now, make note that we're beginning with verse 3. This is important. And from the noisome pestilence, the fowler, who is that? It's Satan. He's always fouling things up. That's his job. That's all he does. He never straightens anything out. He doesn't have the power to straighten things out. I mean, he can take something perfectly straightened out and just touch it and it'll foul it. Now, that would get irritating in the least if everything you touched just came apart. Amen. That's the reason people say, I don't understand it. Everything I touch just comes apart. It's the fowler. Now you've joined forces with him. You've agreed with him and everything you touch just comes apart. It fouled up. It's fouled up. And from the noisome pestilence. Oh, we could spend the rest of the morning on that, but we don't have time. Kenneth, your heavenly Father, who? The Most High God. The Most High God shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. Well, somebody said, would that be like an old hen and her chicks? Well, kinda, but I'm not a chicken. I'm an eagle. So if a bird is my mama, she's a mama eagle. Chickens, beware. Amen. You don't mess with my papa eagle either. Glory to God. Now, oh my, we're just right here. We're off into the deep here. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Kenneth, you will not be afraid. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm yours to command. So, yes, sir, from this moment on, I'm not afraid. I said it. I'm not afraid. You may stand in there with your knees knocking, but glory to God, I'm not afraid. I refuse to be afraid. I'm not taking fear for an answer. You will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow, the missile, the IED. That also includes the sharp arrows of somebody's persecuting tongue against you. No, sir. No, ma'am. Glory to God. Are we getting anywhere? Oh, hallelujah. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence. And right there, I don't know. It comes out of my mouth. Nor for the pestilence, son. I can hear Jesus saying, now, are you listening to me, Ken? Yes, sir. I'm listening, sir. Nor for the pestilence that walks in the darkness. That's the thief. And the fear of being stolen. Fear of having things stolen from you. Amen. That walks in the darkness. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And of course, this is the soldier's psalm. Very serious business. A man that's a strong partner and a very dear friend of mine pastors in Wasilla, Alaska, Keith Kerber and his lovely wife, Nola. And Keith is retired, full colonel, Special Forces, United States Army. And the last one, I believe. We were in Wasilla and ministering there. And he said, Kenneth, I'm going to ask you to lay hands on me, please. He said, I'm about to be deployed. And so Gloria and I did and anointed him with oil and prayed for Nola. And he said, now the unit in which I'm entering has been experiencing extremely high casualty rates. And he said, I want you to pray for me about that. I said, Keith, let me tell you now. Take that 91st Psalm, and I gave him the testimony, the first one that I found out about. There's been many and have experienced this a number of times. And the friends and partners that were in Southeast Asia and things, and it's never failed. It's never failed, not once. With the people that carried it out and walked in this thing. And where a man had, anyway, I won't tell you both testimonies, I'll just tell you what I told Keith because it's the same thing. I said, this company commander in this unit in World War I, I said, Keith, he had every man in the company, every one of them. It was an assignment. You had to memorize the 91st Psalm. You had to memorize it. And if you walk up to one of those men and said, verse 2, surely he shall deliver me. I mean, you had, I mean, just like it was when you had to learn the orders of the day when you first got into basic training. You had to learn the orders of the day. And if they come up and ask you for number six, you better hit a brace, brother, or you're going to do some KP duty very soon if you don't know what those orders of the day are. Well, it was that way with the 91st Psalm. You had to know every verse, and you had to repeat it with a loud voice every time anybody in command came up and asked you for that verse. You had to do it. Well, the commander of that unit in World War I did not lose a man. Nobody. Nobody. Right in the middle of combat. And so we talked about it, and then, like I said, I laid hands on Keith and Nolan and anointed him with oil and he left. I said, now call me, Keith, and let me know. Okay. So, of course, 2 years went by for his deployment there. Well, of course, I'd forgotten about it. And Gloria and I are sound asleep. It's about 3 o'clock about 2:30, 2:45 in the morning, and the phone rang. It's one of those times, you know, when you jump. It wasn't a cell phone, it was a landline, and boy, you know, it really honked at me. So, and I grabbed it. Brother Kenna! I said, Keith, where are you and what time is it there? he said, Brother, I apologize, but he said, I couldn't wait. I just got back, and he said, I couldn't wait to call you. I couldn't wait to call you. I said, what happened, Keith? He said, I didn't lose a man. He said, I didn't lose a soldier. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't even have any, just so light of casualties. He said, nobody even seriously got hurt. The soldier's song. Glory to God. Well, hey, are you a soldier? Yes, you are. You're a soldier in the army of the Lord. And you're on duty 24 hours a day if you knew it. You need to act more like a soldier. And we have certain commandments. To love one another even as you love, to love the brethren even as Jesus loved the brethren. Love your neighbor as yourself, fulfilling all the commands and promises. Amen. Now, that's serious. It's a commandment. And I'm telling you, when your commanding officer comes up to you and gives you an order, it does not make one lick a bit of difference how you feel about it. Amen. And your commanding officer, the Lord Advocate General of the Church, the Lord of the host of the heavens, the heavenly armies of God, has given us orders. And forgiveness, forgiving someone is not an act of feeling, it's an act of obedience. It's an act of command. And if you're not willing to do that, I'm going to tell you what, my brother and sister, your healing is going to be hard to come by. And you don't have to feel good about it for you to receive your healing. You just need to obey. And do it now, right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, while we stand praying, we forgive if we have aught against any. Thank you. Say, well, I just know, Lord, don't start that whining around about that. You just hit a brace. Sir, I forgive so-and-so, sir. They are forgiven, thank you, sir. Permission to receive my healing, sir. Yes, thank you very much. I'm healed. Glory to God. It is that cut and dry when you get serious about being a soldier. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, oh, this one. Look at this. 1,000, Kenneth, shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. This is a nasty neighborhood. And it shall not come nigh thee. Well, Jesus, I just don't see how. Well, forget it then. Just go ahead and let somebody shoot you through the front door of your house driving by. That's not right. I said, that's not right. And you don't have to live in a nasty neighborhood for somebody to shoot a hole in your house. Some idiot that lives in a $1 million house can be shooting. Next door if you live in another $1 million house, which you should. You're on your way, you know, to a higher neighborhood. But they shoot over there just the same. Maybe not quite as often, but there's fools with a lot of money. Amen. The book, the secret place. Hallelujah. It will not come nigh you, boy. Oh, this eighth verse. This may be, well, no, this is, well, they're all my favorite. Only with thine eyes. Now, I injected a little, I have a little error right here. And right up above that, I said, only with thine eyes, like a bad movie, shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because, now listen, look at it. Kenneth, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Can you see the connection? There's Jesus talking to me about our Father. That's Jesus talking to you about your Father. Because of that, son, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Because he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of thy ways. What ways? All of the ways from verse 3 down through verse 10. It's angels. It's angels. It's the wall of the blessing. Do you not remember? Don't you remember when Satan came up before the Father? And he said, does Job serve you for nothing? Now listen to what had Satan so hacked, so ticked off about Job. Does he serve you for nothing? You have blessed him. Residing in you right now, if you're a born-again child of God, the blessing of Abraham, the very same blessing he was talking about, the very same blessing. It started with Adam, went to Noah, went to Abraham, went to Job. The same blessing. It's dwelling in you. For if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Now listen to what he said. You have blessed him, and there is a wall around him. King James says a hedge. It's a wall. What is it? It's the wall of that blessing. Let's get to the 91st Psalm. There are three different speakers in this psalm, starting with you and me. There's Jesus talking to me about our Father. That's Jesus talking to you about your Father. Because of that, son, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Because he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of thy ways. What ways? All of the ways from verse 3 down through verse 10. It's angels. It's angels. It's the wall of the blessing. Do you not remember? Don't you remember when Satan came up before the Father? And he said, "Does Job serve you for nothing?" Now listen to what had Satan so hacked, so ticked off about Job. "Does he serve you for nothing? You have blessed him." Residing in you right now, if you're a born-again child of God, the blessing of Abraham, the very same blessing he was talking about, the very same blessing. It started with Adam, went to Noah, went to Abraham, went to Job. The same blessing. It's dwelling in you. For if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Now listen to what he said. You have blessed him, and there is a wall around him. King James says a hedge. It's a wall. What is it? It's the wall of that blessing. And up until then, the devil hadn't been able to get through that wall. Well, God is not the one that gave the devil permission to get in there. Don't get that idea, that traditional, I don't want to say it. And I have to admit, just on the surface, if you don't study it, you don't know anything about the blessing, you don't know anything about faith, and you don't know any, and you don't ever listen to God, you'd think God just said, "Well, go on, get him, Satan. He'll probably be all right." No, he did not. Job opened the door with fear. He kept making the same sacrifice for his family continually. Continually, continually. And he kept saying the same thing. Lest they curse God. Well, Satan accused him of cursing God. He said he'll curse God to your face. That was the only sin involved. Now, Job made a lot of mess ups. Who hadn't? But there was only one sin involved here. It was cursing God. Well, of course, Satan had to get cursing God on their mind trying to get them to commit it. His wife did it. She's the reason the family got killed, not Job. She did it and told him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Thanks a lot, Mama, for your help here. Well, see, she didn't know. She's under a lot of pressure. The devil was pushing from every direction. Anyway, I wanted you to see the blessing wall. Part and major piece of the blessing are the angels that support it. That wall is up, glory to God. That's what happens in this 91st Psalm. That wall comes up. And it's working right now. It's working right now. There's faith working in you that hadn't worked in a long time. There's more faith working in you and just storming through you right now. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're there. Now, I want you to notice it now. Get this with me. Get this with me. Praise the Lord. He'll give his angels charge over you. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Every time we get in the airplane, whether I'm flying in the front seat or I'm riding in the back seat, no mind. Every time, before the power comes up, I lay my hands on the side of the airplane and I say, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood over this airplane. I plead the blood over me, over Dwayne, Gloria, whomever else is in there, for protection against every evil spirit, every evil wicked person, every evil thing. Every evil plan of the devil is bound and stopped and thwarted. Ministering angels, lift us up in your hands, lest our feet dash against a stone, and keep us in all of our ways according to the 91st Psalm, and bless our partners in the name of Jesus beyond measure. Every time Gloria and I get in the car, we do the same thing. I get on a motorcycle. Start the engine and just sit right there in the driveway or wherever I am and plead the blood over me and on that motorcycle. This motorcycle will bump nobody. Nobody will bump it. Glory to God. There ain't no way it can fall over. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and bless my partners beyond me according to the 91st Psalm. You ought to do that every time you get in the car. And particularly paying attention to the greater one that lives within you. Yeah, I mean, you may be just standing there in the kitchen some evening, just washing dishes or something, and just, you know, just stand there kind of quietly praying in the spirit, and all of a sudden it'll come up on the inside of you, 91st Psalm. Plead the blood right now. I plead the blood. I'm just doing it right now. Oh, glory to God. Now, those of you that have school children, that ought to be your morning ritual before those babies leave that house. We're not having no shooting in their school. We're not having a shooting where I work. They're not having a shooting in our church. No, bless God, there's a wall up around this place. But you have to maintain the wall. You can't allow cracks to get in it. That means you have to watch over it every day. And don't forget the angels. Hallelujah. Someone was healed in the area of the lungs. Asthma, bronchitis, and so forth. That healing's been going on all morning, but I just realized it just as I was speaking right there then. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, here's the Father speaking. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now, here's the Father. Because the Father is saying, Jesus, see, he's talking to Jesus. He says to Jesus, Son, Kenneth has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Woo, glory, 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 glory. Now, I'm reading from the 90th Psalm, footnote. Now, this is the reason I'm reading from the hard copy instead of from my iPad or my telephone, because it doesn't have the footnotes. This psalm is credited to Moses, who is interceding with God to remove the curse which made it necessary for every Israelite over 20 years of age when they rebelled against God at Kadesh Barnea to die before reaching the promised land. In Numbers 14, 26 through 35. Moses said most of them
or dying at 70. This number has often been mistaken as a set span of life for all mankind. It was intended to refer to anyone except those Israelites under the curse during the particular 40 years. 70 years has never been the average span of life for humanity. When Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes, had reached 130, he complained that he had not attained the years of his immediate ancestors. In fact, Moses himself lived to be 120, Aaron 123, Miriam several years older, Joshua 110. Note as well that in the millennium, a person dying at 100 will still be thought of as a child. With long life, I'll satisfy. We do not have privilege or any right to choose an arbitrary number about what long life is. Genesis 6:3. That's pretty well right in the front, isn't it? It's only six chapters into the first book of the Bible. So that establishes, by the law of first reference, that establishes this number because God said it for the rest of the book. In the third verse, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. The New Living Translation translates it like this. He is only flesh, and his normal life is 120 years. Now, how does this come into our daily lives today? I'll give you one very, very strong example. When you get into the book of Leviticus, which is well after Genesis, and you get into what to eat and what not to eat, that's based on living 120 years. And it's really not all that hard a thing to do. I thought, well, that's under the law. Yeah, it is. So, that's not the Bible?
Well, the Bible said we can take anything.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did. All things are accepted. No, it didn't. I know it did.
No, it didn't. You just think it did. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, I wouldn't have said it if I couldn't prove it. Thank you, Lord. You believe that?
Yes.
1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Now, if you start reading in the 4th verse, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. Well, now see there, Brother Copeland, I can eat all the pig I want to eat. Yeah, you can eat all the pig you want to eat. I'm not telling you you can't. But it's not good for you. Well, what did I say? I'm fixing to tell you if you say hush. Do you realize there's no commas in the Greek text? Commas are an English thing put in by the translators. Now notice something here. Go back up. Verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What? Forbidding to marry. Now, we know that's wrong. Forbidding to marry, long as it's a man marrying a woman and a woman marrying a man.
forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, comma, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth, for every creature of God. Now, wait a minute. Go back to the neighborhood that this verse lives in. These people were forbidding to marry and forbidding to eat food that was on the good list. Not the whole list, good or bad. They were forbidding to eat what God said He created for food. So if you go in there and find what God said He created for food, and then the others He created for some other purpose. He didn't create them to eat. He didn't create snakes to eat. He didn't create alligators to eat. I've never eaten snake, but I've eaten alligator, and it tastes good. But you ain't supposed to be eating alligator meat. He's a reptile. But there are other things that are a whole lot more subtle than that. And I can get, I could start making you real ticked here if I just isn't. Shrimp. Crab legs. Catfish. Oh, son, don't get rid of my catfish. I'm not getting rid of anything for you. But I'm going to live 120 years and serve God 120 years and preach the word of faith 120 years. And I'm going to live it without cancer, and I'm going to live it without heart troubles and heart. Hey! But I'm not preaching the law. I'm preaching faith, glory to God. And you can do whatever you and Jesus decide to do. But for me and my house, we're going for the 120. Well, Gloria's going for 115 because we're going at the same time. Amen. And Jerry said he's going at 110 because he's going the same time I'm going. We've been a team up there now. There ain't no use breaking it up then just so he can live 10 more years. But he can if he wants to, you know, if he gets up there. By 120, he may be 6 feet tall. Who knows? Can you see, though, can you see how just a little bit of adjustment there can make all of the difference in your life? And at first, I began to look at that, and I thought, boy, hey, 120 years. And then I heard it. He said, Kenneth, that's just as much my word as by my stripes ye were healed. He said, you can't do it by yourself, son. And he said, I'm not commanding you to do it. I'm asking you to do it. He said, I need it in the earth. He said, there are anointings from 80 to 90 to 100 to 110, 115. I don't even have them in the earth, and I need them. I said, done, sir. I'll do it. I'll change my diet. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm on a mission now, a mission impossible, glory to God. And I will, but it's no longer impossible. It's not even probable. It is a done deal, glory to God. And I don't care how many hours a day I have to hit that weight room. I don't care how many hours and how many miles I have to run. I don't care what I have to do. I'm doing it, praise God, for my commander-in-chief needs me. He's called me out, and I volunteered for special mission, and I'm not going to back down. And today is the day for you to get healed. Today is the day for your miracle.
Hello, I'm Kelly Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. All this week, my dad, Kenneth Copeland, has laid a strong foundation for healing in God's Word. Well, today we have a special broadcast from my mother, Gloria Copeland, on the healing of your soul. When life takes an unexpected turn, learn how to take God's promises by faith and reinforce the victory Jesus has already won. Call somebody and tell them to watch.
Incline your ear unto my sayings. Why do we do that? Because there's life there. That's where wisdom is. That's where God is. That's how He gets into us and gets into our lives. It opens the door for us to open the door for Him. Incline your ear to my sayings, your ear. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Them what? Them words. Keep the word of God in the midst of your heart by going in your ear, in your eye. You don't get this just by wishing for it. You don't get it just because your preacher, your pastor's got it. You get it because you actually use your own eyes and ears in this endeavor. The words of God, keep them, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You don't forget the words of God. You know, you can't remember all the words of God. You have to consume it daily. You know, I get excited on the inside about the Word. I mean, it's like something happens down there. I can almost feel it physically. I get stirred up. You're leaving here stirred up with the Word of faith. Now, keep yourself stirred up that way, just the same way, by keeping the Word of God going in your eyes and in your ears. The Word, they are life. The words of God are life unto them that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now that means anything today that's wrong in your flesh, the Word of God is life to you. The Spirit of God is present to heal you today. Your faith rises up within you to receive. God is a good God. He wants you well. He's always wanted His people well. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Healing who? Healing all. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He is the same. He still wants to heal every person in this place, every person watching on the internet, everyone. This ought to settle it right here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. There He is talking good about God again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Say it with me. Who forgiveth all thy diseases. Who healeth all thy diseases, who forgives all thy iniquities. I said it wrong. Who heals all thy diseases. How many?
All.
Would that be every disease in this place today?
Never.
Who redeems your life from destruction. That's long life. And even in this long life, He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Surely, Isaiah 53:4 says in the Amplified, surely, this is sure, He has borne our griefs, which means sickness, weakness, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains. If you're here today and you've been stricken with grief, you've lost a loved one or whatever is grieving you, maybe you lost something in the natural realm. Grief and death go together. Death comes and then grief comes to get a place in your life and in your family. Grief is an enemy. It steals, it kills, it destroys your life. It's a deadly emotion. You know, somebody will lose somebody in their family, and then they'll get in grief and get sad and sorrowful and down and depressed where there's no life coming out of you. When you're depressed, there's no life force coming out of you. When the Word of God is coming out of you in life, you're not depressed. And what happens? Well, the loved one Maybe it's a husband or a wife. The one that's left then lets grief come in, and grief moves in, and the next thing you know, that person's sick. Dr. Colbert, are you here today? Is that true? Do you find that in your practice? That death will come in a family, then grief will move in, and then those people will get sick and die too young a lot of times. It's just the way it is. It's a spirit. Now, when you have that in your family, and we've had some in our family, not in our children, but in our family, my brother, my niece, were both killed in car accidents young, at a young age. And we do this in our family. We know, I mean, you know, you're going to be sad, all right. It's going to be sad for you. But yet, you get over on the glory side of it. Both of those in our family, we knew, went into the presence of the Lord immediately. So really, I mean, when you're going to miss them, it's sad for you. But when you get right down to it, what's to grieve there? I mean, there is nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like being in heaven. There's nothing like it. The best earth could do would be very, very dark compared to living in heaven. And so you get over on the glory side of the thing. It's too, you know, if you haven't resurrected them and you've put their body in the ground and their spirit's in heaven, what can you do more? Well, they would have you go on and live your life. It would be a grief to them if they knew that because they were in heaven now and in the glory and where it's great and wonderful, the devil was lying to you and keeping you in grief so that you couldn't fulfill the number of your days and do it in health and blessing. They would be sad to know that. Brother Hagin said that. He had more experience on the other side than anybody I know. But he said that people up there, they know what happens down here in the spirit. But they don't know natural things. Like they don't know if you got a new car or whatever like that. But grief is a spiritual thing. And so if we really believe what we believe, we ought to be able to take that, refuse to allow grief to come upon us, do what needs to be done, and walk on in life. Grief is an enemy. It's an enemy. And the reality of what's happening to them will be so much greater if you won't let grief settle in at your house. I mean, it's tough. I know it's tough. I mean, you know, you have certain pictures both of them were car wrecks, and you have certain pictures of that come into your mind, certain things, and you remember the time that you heard this and that you got the news and all that. But when that tries to get in you, come on you, you just say, no, I'm not having grief. I'm not having grief. My brother's in heaven. My niece is in heaven. Your loved one's in heaven. Now you go on and finish your course in Jesus' name. Finish your life. Don't let that stop you. Don't let it stop you. Don't let grief come to your house and live. It's a devil. And he looks for a place to live, and grief and death travel together. So it's something for you to resist in Jesus' name. Jesus bore our griefs. Now, do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, then you have to receive it. All right, here I am. I was reading the wrong one there. He was, where was that about grief? Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, distresses, and carried our sorrows. We are not to carry our griefs. We are not to carry our sorrows. You have it, you deal with it, you go on with your life, and you know. You say, well, I don't know if my loved one was born again. Well, that's right, you don't know. So many people get born again They wouldn't give God the time of day until they face life and death. You don't know. What do you have to do in a situation like that? You have to trust God. You can't just dream up your own thing. You have to trust God. Surely He has borne our griefs, sickness, weakness, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we considered Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain our shalom, our peace, which means everything, health, prosperity, salvation, deliverance, and well-being was upon Him. And with the stripes that wounded Him, we are healed and made whole. Surely He has borne our griefs. Surely He has borne our sickness and our weakness and distress and sorrows. And surely we don't have to bear them now. He did it for us. Every sickness, every disease, every weakness, every grief here in this place, that includes mental problems, depression, all kind of situations. It includes addictions. It includes sin, immorality, anything, any kind of a lifestyle that is crosswise with God and you want to out of it. This is your day to go. This is your day to go free in Jesus' name. This is your day to be healed in the name of Jesus. This is your day to get up, walk, and do what you couldn't do before. Jesus is alive and well, and He's here. And He loves you. Glory to God. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, when we pray, this is your day to get born again. Hallelujah. That's the first and the greatest step. So we're going to pray the prayer now, and we're going to receive healing. Now, when we pray, the moment we pray, you take it. You seize it. You lay hold of it. That's what it means to receive. Amen. You take it. You begin to do. Now, it's just the family here. It would just tickle us all over if you just jumped up and ran around the building. We wouldn't care a bit. If you couldn't dance, dance. If you couldn't jump, jump. If you couldn't do your arms. Start doing what you couldn't do before. The presence of the Lord is here to heal and to deliver. Now, if you're ready to pray in faith, you stand up and we're going to pray. If you can't stand up on the outside, stand up on the inside. In Jesus' name. I want you to lift up your hand to the Lord. Shut your eyes. And pray this with all your heart and your soul. And then at the end of the prayer, I want you to take your healing, receive your healing, put it in your mouth, let it be in your heart. From here on, this is the day you take it. Say this: the gospel that I've heard, is the power of God unto my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ as Lord over my life. As Lord over my spirit, soul, and body. Amen. I receive the power of God to make me sound, whole, delivered, saved, healed. Now, I act on the Word of God. And I receive the power of God. Sickness, disease, and pain. I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not the will of God. Grief, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I enforce the Word of God on you. I'll not tolerate you in my life. You back. My days of sickness and disease are over. My days of grief and sadness are over. My days of depression are over.
I am the saved.
I am the healed.
The power of sickness
has been broken over my life.
Jesus himself
bore my sickness,
weakness,
pain,
and I'm free.
Sickness shall no longer lord it over me.
Sin shall no longer lord it over me.
Fear shall no longer lord it over me.
I've been redeemed from the curse.
Healing and deliverance.
I proclaim my freedom.
Today the gospel
is the power of God unto me.
To salvation.
I receive the word of God.
I act on the word of God.
And I am made free in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
I've been having back pain since January, and I even had an MRI just like the end of like May 30th, and they showed 3 bulging discs and nerve pain and all that kind of stuff, and so it's just been really painful to sit.
This is Jessica from Antelope, California, and she had been contending for these 3 bulging discs that were in her back, and during the meetings, her pain returned, and she had to actually stand in the back of the room for the Thursday and Friday sessions, but when she came in today, she was able to sit through the entire service, and she says she feels so good. All the pain in her back is completely gone.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
But today, the healing even started before, like, I walked in and I said, okay, God, I am taking my healing, because it's gotten progressively better, but I said, I want it every whit whole. I am taking my healing, and I've been watching BVOVN and watching Sister Gloria Copeland, all her healing school videos since January. I mean, it's been on my house 24/7, and I've just been saying, I'm taking my healing. I am sitting in this service healed and whole.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, say it again, Lord. Breast cancer is healed right now. Lumps in the breast are shrinking up. Some of them gone. Some of them are already. You can tell it. Check yourself out. Glory to God.
Sylvia had a lump. She said she had a lump in her breast, and now it's gone.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Today.
Today.
Wonderful.
When he said breast cancer was healed, I received it, and it's gone.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Well, glorify the Lord. Come on. Praise the
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Marvelous.
Thank you, Lord.
Still under the power of God.
Remember, in the world of energy, there's potential energy and there's moving or kinetic energy. Faith is always kinetic. And faith releases its ability when you release it. Amen. Kathy? Yeah.
This is Joe, originally from Sweetwater, Texas, yeah, living in Bakersfield now. He got saved last night. And he had a diagnosis of stomach cancer. The pain has left him in the stomach and the back.
Thank you, Lord. Awesome. So no pain. The pain is gone in your tummy.
I've had 4 chemotherapies. I've had 11 transfusions. I'm ready for that black demon to leave town.
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone. Okay. And then the surgery. And I'm here with Kenny Copeland following for the 125 years. And that's all I want to do.
Amen. Well, let's give God praise. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise your
praise
Lord.
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we are so thankful. Just lift
Thank
your hands.
Lord.
Tell the Lord how grateful we are for everything we've seen. Everything we know he's done and continues to do, we give you praise. Hallelujah.
God's word is life and healing to me. I am strong. My life is full of God's wholeness and abundant blessings.
Become God inside minded. Think like he thinks. Choose the healing and wellness He has promised you in His Word with the Harvest of Health Package. This life-changing set of resources includes And Jesus Healed Them All, a book by Gloria Copeland. God wants you well, and Jesus has already healed you, so take hold of His Word as your prescription for life and health. The Healing Scriptures CD builds up your spirit in the Word. Get rid of unforgiveness, choose to walk in love, and experience wholeness as you listen to anointed scriptures read by Kenneth Copeland. What you plant in your heart grows. The Harvest of Health, a mini book by Gloria Copeland, encourages you to take God's promises and confess them for your healing every day. Your Harvest of Health is on the way. Be sure to request your free Harvest of Health package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Tap into the powerful promises of healing for you in God's Word. Go to kcm.org/TBSpecial or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you are outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
I'm Annette Oman. I'm from Holland. Kenneth Copeland Ministries, well, where do I start? It turned our family upside down. I'm here because of Gloria Copeland Healing School, which I followed and brought forth a big miracle in our life. When Desmond was born, he was a baby who cried a lot, but I had no example or anything to compare with other babies because he was the first grandchild, the first baby in the whole family. And this went on for 2-3 years. In Holland, when you are 4 years old, you have to go to school. We don't have homeschooling in Holland. So from the first day I brought him to school, it was really a battle. I would say a fight. And then within a few weeks, his teacher came to me and she said, I think it's a good plan to test him. Because he doesn't connect with anyone in the class and he doesn't look at me and he is acting very weird. And so we did. They didn't even test him that long, but she said, I can be 100% sure that he has a severe form of autism. So my husband and I were there and we thought, okay. And we said, how are we gonna fix this? And she looked at us and she said, well, don't make any plans for his future because he will never be a doctor or a lawyer. Maybe if everything goes right, you can put him in a home where he's with other autistic boys and girls and under guidance, but don't make any plans for his future. So at that moment, our world kind of collapsed. He was put into a special school, which was connected to a psychiatric center. And it was so bad. We had someone at night during dinner who helped us just to feed him because my husband is 6'4" and he couldn't hold Desmond. He was so strong. And it was crazy. And then I came in a sermon of a church and the pastor asked me who I was and I introduced myself as Annette with the son that had autism, that has autism. He said, God can heal that. So I went back and I got a hold of Gloria Copeland's Healing School and on the tapes, she was telling about Jesus, the healer. She was telling about faith. She was telling about what's impossible with man is possible with Jesus. She was telling about how much God loves us and how Jesus, the healer, can heal all. Because I read the word and I had so much of this healing teaching, my faith became stronger and stronger, and I was so determined. I kept saying, you are healed in the stripes of Jesus. You will have a good future. You will be totally restored, just as God has planned it. I saw him going to normal school, to do a normal job, to get married, all the impossibilities. He was in his bus And I knocked on the window and I waved. And he was always like this. He never looked. He was always like this. So in the afternoon, he came back and he got out of his bus. And I opened the front door and suddenly he looked at me. And he said, "Mom, now you have to remember, he never looked at me and he never made one normal sentence." And he said, "Mom, why did you put me in this school with these strange kids? They act really weird. They lay on the floor. They don't talk. They don't look at you." And I was, "Wait." I ran to the phone. I called my husband. I said, "You better come home. Desmond is healed." So it took more than 2.5 years without seeing anything. And suddenly, he came in healed. I cannot tell people often enough to never, ever give up. When he was diagnosed, they said, "He will never be healed." He was healed. "He will never be a lawyer," but he is going to be a lawyer. "He will never marry." He has a wife. So everything the doctor said, everything the therapist said, can't be. God said, yes. Where they said impossible, God said possible.
Over the last 10 years, I've really gotten to know Annette and her family really well. And it's one of my very favorite testimonies. You know, that pastor handed her a cassette and said, "Listen to this every day. This will get him healed." And she's like, "I don't know why a cassette tape would heal him." But so they listened every day for 2.5 years. They put that word in their heart. And I love, I want to encourage you, tell people about this messages this week. Tell them to listen, to log on to KCM.org and watch these testimonies, because that's the way Desmond got healed. And the last time I saw Desmond a couple of years ago, I saw him at church, he and his wife. It's just what God can do. There's nothing, nothing too difficult for him. This is what he sent Jesus to do for us. Mark 10:27 says, "With God, all things are possible." Jesus loves you. When you receive him as your healer or as your Lord and Savior, you have access to these good things that he came, he died to give to us. If you've never asked him into your heart today, do it. Do it today. Just pray with me and have him come in, because he wants to be there for you. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal your children. He wants to give you new life. He wants to free you from circumstances that are crushing to you. So pray this with me. Say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died on the cross for me. Take my life and do something with it. In Jesus' name, amen." And you know, you're a child of God, so you can continue that prayer. "Lord Jesus, heal my body. Save my loved ones. Lord Jesus, talk to me about today. Lord Jesus, I'm sad. Help me with that." You can take any of these things to him because he loves you and you're accepted. You are accepted. He will be there for you every day. He will help you read his word. He will help you learn more about him. And we get to be a part of that too at KCM. We have teaching on KCM.org. You can connect with words of life like you've seen today. But to learn more about your new life in Christ and what he's done in you today, we have a free salvation package that we want to give to you. It includes a book called He Did It All For You. It has two brochures as well on how to read and study your Bible. And man, nothing better than sitting there with Jesus and say, reading this and letting him explain it to you on the inside. You can request your free copy at KCM.org. Let us know you got saved today and we'll send it to you.
Okay, 911, what is your emergency?
Somebody was traveling the wrong way and two people just had a head-on collision. They're not responding.
Oh, like they're not conscious?
They're not. In the van, they're not.
Do they look like they're dead?
Possibly, yes.
No.
On the morning of July 31st, 2011, my son was in a wreck on his way home from work, and he was hit head-on by a drunk driver. I went to the emergency room, and they began to tell me the long list of injuries. I would go in when I would go to see Kevin, and pretty much just tell him, you know, listen to your mama. You're not done. You have a purpose. You got to get up out of that bed. Tell Jesus you can't stay. And was just kind of pretty adamant with him.
She did not let up. And all the training, all the things that we watched from Brother Copeland, all the faith was, I mean, she grabbed a hold of it. She wasn't letting go. And she wouldn't let anyone talk any negative. She wouldn't let, what are you going to say when you go in? She was very protective.
But on August the 1st, 2011, at 8:57 in the morning, we went up to hear good news because we were trusting that God would raise him from the dead. Instead, we heard that he was brain dead. And I leaned down and I said, Kev, Mom's not ready for you to go. And I heard his voice so audibly I thought he woke up. He said, Mom, it's too painful. Those were the words that I heard. And I stood up expecting to see his eyes open. And when I realized that he hadn't woke up, I knew that I was hearing from heaven. And as I stood there looking at Kevin, and it just kind of dawned on me what I was asking Kevin to do. And I realized that he was in the face of Jesus, where he'd always lived his life to be. And I thought, how selfish of me to ask him to come back when he was right there. And I just looked at him and I said, Kev, Mom will be okay. And I let him go at that point. We went in this room off the ICU waiting room to pray. And I started praying out loud. And I heard myself say, God, I forgive her and what she's done to our family. All we knew, it was a female, didn't know anything else.
God had already told me that we needed to forgive this person. And when he told me that, I was like, I am not telling her that. I said, if you want her to know that, you're going to have to tell her yourself. I am not going there, God. I'm not doing it.
I opened my eyes because I thought, did I just really say that out loud? Because I surprised myself that I said that.
And when she said that in that prayer, I started crying. I started broke down because I thought, yes, thank you, Jesus.
Eventually, because I kept speaking God's word, even though I didn't feel like it, even though my head was, you know, yelling other things at me, and I continued to work through that process, speaking the word and speaking over myself, it eventually changed my feelings. I chose to not allow what this woman did to trap me in a jail cell when I had the key to let me go. And forgiveness is freedom.
I was so ashamed and embarrassed of what I had done. I really didn't know how to deal with it. She came onto the news, and I remember seeing, it was like she was looking right at me. And she said, Letitia, if you're watching this, I forgive you. I knew that I didn't deserve it. So it's kind of hard to accept. I didn't understand why she would forgive me. But it was, I guess, comforting knowing that she had said that to me.
She was sentenced to 8 years vehicular homicide by intoxication and 6 years supervised probation after that. 11 months later, I get a phone call. She's coming up for parole. And so when I hung up the phone, I was like, God, really? Is Kevin's life not more than 11 months? And he said, you said you trusted me, that when it was my timing and I knew she was ready to get out, that you would be okay with that. And I was like, I know, but 11 months. And he said, do you trust me? Yes. If you know she's ready to get out now, I'll be okay with it. I said, but I have no idea what to say to the parole board. And he said, sit down and write what you hear. When it was my turn, I just read what God had me to write. And I started it off with, I'm guilty of murder too. And the person that I killed, his father accepts me, loves me as one of his own kids, doesn't hold what I did over my head, doesn't beat me up with it. And so who am I to not extend that same forgiveness that I've been given? And that person that I killed was Jesus. Am I saying what she did was okay? Absolutely not. But we can go forward together and make an impact together. And then about 2 weeks later, she got the news that she was granted parole. She was released in November of 2013. And we started speaking together in January of 2014 and haven't stopped since. We go to high schools, rehab centers, community events, anywhere and everywhere that'll allow us to come and share our story of the dangers and consequences of drinking and driving. But the message that shines through is the story of forgiveness.
Knowing that we can help someone with our story, that means everything to me. Like, that is a lot of how I can accept the forgiveness and try to move forward, is knowing that we're doing good in the world, you know, that we're trying to help other people not have to go through what we've been through. So it's wonderful being able to share.
It's offering day today, and as we make our offering, let's call it a representation of our time and our attention. Let's be so captivated with Jesus that even if something happens in our lives, we know how to hear from Him, and we hear His voice talking to us, and He ministers to us all the way through it. I can't think of anything worse than what she went through, but I can tell you that whatever you're going through, Jesus is the answer. He loves you. He is everything that you need. So whatever you want to offer Him today, you know, a dollar, $10, whatever He puts in your heart, or whatever you feel like in your heart that represents your attention to Him. I'm giving you my attention. Even with my finances, Lord, I'm giving you my attention with my finances. It's a representation of your life and your heart, the Word says. Where your treasure is where your life is. So as you offer that to Him, offer Him your face. Receive from Him His face. He wants to be face to face with you. Be captivated by Him. Keep your it's funny, when you make that decision and you start to turn away, He'll go, whoo, back over here. Look at me. I'm the one with the answers for today. I'm the one with the answers and knows what you're going to face today. I'm the one that needs to tell you how to pray, how to love, how to forgive as you sow your offering this week. Thank you, partners, for all that you do to allow us to bring this message to all over the world. I want to encourage you to go to church this weekend, worship with people of faith, get the Word, raise your hands, and spend time with Jesus and all your brothers and sisters. Amen. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you today that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.